T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Aaron Rodgers' Jeopardy hosting continues. Another good night last night. He is good at it, and it's because of preparation. He didn't just show up and started hosting. He prepared for it. Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers, which is also on the Odyssey app. Peter, I don't know if you, and thanks for a couple minutes, I don't know if you voted in my poll or not the other day. It was a very famous poll. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Was I supposed to prepare for this?
No. God, no.
Okay, great. Then we're in good shape.
Do you think I did? It's clear I didn't.
I mean, I just never assume anything with you.
Thank you. That's the except that I don't like the Jordan Love pick. That's the one thing that I'm consistent
I'm always prepared for that.
Well, the poll I put up the other day was, what will be a higher number? Episodes of Jeopardy hosted by Aaron Rodgers the rest of his life. He's already at 10. Or starts as a Packer by Jordan Love. What would you vote? What would you vote in that poll?
I will take the Jordan Love over. And not just to spite you.
Do you think, because Rodgers now, I don't know how much of Jeopardy you've watched. You think he's got a shot at the full-time gig? Because now he's like, I've never seen him go all in with anything like this. He wants it.
Oh, he is openly caping for this job. I don't know that it's something that Jeopardy would want to do. It seems a little novel for them, but I mean, he's good enough at it. I think he obviously likes doing it, and the superstar effect could be tantalizing for whoever produces that. I don't know. I don't see it. I mean, it does seem like he really does want it, though.
You know, it'd be weird. What would be weird is if he got the gig, and then like 10 years from now, you're just watching Jeopardy, and you scroll through the channels, and it's like, there's Aaron Rodgers. Whatever. It's Aaron Rodgers. He used to be a quarterback. And you just scroll on. Because, like, if he got it, oh, my God, it would be a big deal. It was like when comic legend Drew Carey got Price is Right.
Right, and now no one cares. You know what's going to happen, though, is he'll get the job, and then he'll become the beloved host, and then 10 years they'll replace him with Harry Styles or something.
Yes, they will. They will run him out of town too early. I think one interesting thing with this offseason, because I will say this from a, oh, I guess I understand. If you're the Packers, you are trying to give yourself an out still. I mean, if you're going to pay all these other dudes, you've got a guy you drafted to eventually take over for Rodgers. So I understand why they're not like restructuring to further commit to him. From a business financial planning standpoint, I get it. I don't like it because I want Rodgers to play here for a long time. I think he still can, and he just won the MVP, whether it threw a wrench in their plans or not, as he says. What I got kind of weirded out by the other day was when Mark Murphy talked, and like you couldn't have paid him any amount of money to comment on that. It just seems like a franchise that has gone through this before, and they know that it's going to be a messy breakup because of all the scenarios that this could work, Rodgers to Love with just a clean handoff. The only way would be Super Bowl, retire, Love time. They knew this was going to be a disaster, at least publicly, PR relation-wise, but they're still so committed. And I think one of the problems I have, Peter, is the Packers seem to be going out of their way, at least Murphy the other day, to make it messier, if that makes sense.
Well, I don't... Look, I don't know about that. I agree with you about the weirdness of that Mark Murphy press conference. But if you go back to the end of the season, Matt LaFleur said everything right when it comes to the quarterback and who is going to be the quarterback. And we want Aaron Rodgers. And that doesn't mean just this year. We want him for the long term, whatever that means in football parlance. And Brian Gutekunst said Aaron Rodgers is our quarterback, and we expect him to be our quarterback for a long time. So those guys are saying the right things. Brian Gutekunst said publicly that they had gone to Rodgers and talked about a restructure. Mike Silver, who is close with Rodgers, has said, look, Rodgers wants this to happen, and the Packers are being a little intransigent about it. Who knows what that means exactly? But it is interesting that they have bent over backwards, right, to not do anything with his contract, when the easiest way for them to have cleared cap space would have been to simply restructure Aaron Rodgers. And it really only changes 1 year. I mean, yes, they can get out of his contract reasonably after this season. If they restructured and did just a simple restructure where they accelerated his base salary as bonus and spread it out, it would basically say, okay, well, now you're the quarterback through 2022, and then the Packers can get out of it. And it would seem weird for them to say, well, we're gonna risk pissing off our Hall of Fame quarterback and putting ourselves in a bigger cap problem simply because we want an extra year of flexibility. That just like logically doesn't make sense to me. And so from a cap management standpoint, I try and use just like basic Occam's razor on this and say, okay, what is the simplest explanation for all of this? And that it's, I think they're waiting to use the cap space, because I do think they still need to use it. They still need to create the cap space. I think ultimately they will still do something with this contract. And I wouldn't be surprised if they still have a card left to play. Mike Silver told me yesterday that Rodgers has tried to recruit a couple guys to come sign in Green Bay. And Brian Gutekunst said that they felt like they could make a move or two in free agency. They clearly haven't done that yet. Maybe they're waiting until after the draft and they could get a Richard Sherman or a Casey Hayward, or even, you know, further down the line of Kenny Stills, someone like that. And they could use whatever money that they can create with Rodgers to do that.
Talking with Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers. Again, you can find that on the Odyssey app as well. And wherever you get your podcast, Locked On Packers, check it out. Peter, the host of that. And Locked On Today. How's that going? I have the name of that right? I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. it's all sports, not just Packers. So it's for the fan who, you know, it follows, let's say, the Packers closely or the Bucks or the Brewers, but you sort of want to be up to date and you don't feel like watching SportsCenter. It's all the big stories and it's no nonsense. Just sort of here's what's going on. Here's why it matters. That kind of thing. But we still have fun.
You got to have fun, Pete. I mean, what are we doing this for if we're not having fun?
Exactly. It's a boring job if you don't have fun.
Got to have fun. Peter Bukowski joining us. So with the offseason, I think that it's been interesting. You have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who won the Super Bowl, and I believe every starter is back, and that hasn't happened in a long time. So they've brought everybody back. You have the Packers, who are kind of doing the same thing. And I do think they were both the best two teams in the NFC. You saw they both made the championship game. I think the Packers they could have won that game. We know that. And if David Bakhtiari's healthy, I think they do win that game. I think that's a big difference, and I think they do win that game. So it's smart of both teams to run it back. I'm surprised, like, how committed the Packers are to running it back. We're like, everybody's back. You know, you lose Jamal Williams and Corey Linsley because of financial situations, but Will Redmond, you're back. Shannon Sullivan, you're back. Anybody that's been a part of this team is back. Has that part of this surprised you or no?
Oh, it absolutely surprised me. And the lengths to which they've gone to do that, as you said, Will Redmond, who is a core special teams player, but when he's been having to play, you know, as a defensive player, has been more or less a disaster for them. I think people forget with the Kevin King play at the end of the first half that the play before, two plays before, Will Redmond dropped a gift interception from Tom Brady that would have obviously stopped that touchdown from happening and kept the game much more in reach for Green Bay. The Kevin King deal, I think, was pretty surprising, although once we saw the structure of it, it's really like a one-year, $2 million deal on the cap, and then they're spreading some more of that money out. That has been surprising. Aaron Jones coming back is somewhat surprising, although, you know, for months we heard that they were trying to get that deal done. I think you're right, though. These are the two best teams in the NFC. I think they're still the two best teams in the NFC, and so it makes sense for them to run it back. What I had said recently on Locked On Packers was, to me, this points to some sort of, you know, not big move necessarily, like they're going to move up in the top 10 and draft Kyle Pitts. But I think, you know, Brian Gutekunst has been aggressive trading up. You know, Darnell Savage, Jair Alexander, and Jordan Love. He has shown a willingness to go up and get guys. They have the second most draft picks in this draft, and they have a roster after they brought everyone back that doesn't have room for all these players. I think we're going to see Brian Gutekunst be a little bit more aggressive in terms of moving up to get guys that he likes, maybe even on day two, use both those fourth round picks to move up into the back into the top 100 and grab someone. I think that the status quo with the rest of the roster says to me that the draft, they're going to be fine with taking fewer picks as long as they can make some higher picks and target the guys that they want.
And that's really what I wanted to talk to you about. I mean, yeah, I gotta talk about Rodgers for 10 minutes. I just can't help myself. But you tweeted the other day that if the Packers draft a cornerback, and you said they're drafting a cornerback, it will come from this list, and you've got a list of guys, elite athletes at the position, and there's a handful of them as far as cornerbacks. Now, the research I've done up to this point on the draft is that there's like a consensus top four in different orders, from Farley, Virginia Tech, Sertan from Alabama, J.C. Horn, South Carolina, Greg Newsom, Northwestern. And you thought where the Packers are at 29, you know, maybe they can get Newsom. It seems like his stock has risen a little bit. And then from what I've heard, and just, again, the minor research I've done on the draft, it seems like 29 is a bad spot to just sit there and get a corner. Like, if you want a corner that's good and going to start right away, you got to trade up. Otherwise, you can get a guy still, but that's more second-round value. Would the Packers be more prone, do you think, trade up, get one of those top four, or someone else they like, trade down and get what the value is perceived as, or just stay at 29 and grab one?
Well, of course, it's going to be relative to what happens ahead of them, and that's a little bit of a cop-out answer, I know. But what's interesting, actually, is – so Caleb Farley was considered, the Virginia Tech corner was considered by most to be either the best or second best corner in the draft. Then he had back surgery this offseason. And now, you know, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network, who is really plugged in on this stuff, and some of the other places that follow this stuff are now projecting Farley mid to late 20s. In fact, the Draft Network has him right at 29 on their projected board. So it could be the case that Green Bay is hoping that Farley or Newsom can fall to them. What is useful this season is the teams drafting directly in front of them are probably more likely to take receivers or other positions. So if they want to move up, they're going to have to probably get into like that 20, 21 range again. So, you know, last year they could have moved up to get Justin Jefferson and they would have had to go up into that same sort of range. And they've done that before. The Savage move was from 30 to 21, and that cost them two fourth-round picks to do. You could do it if you wanted to give up a third as well, and then, you know, maybe package those fours and move up again. So I think they could move up to do that and get someone. Greg Newsom is a terrific scheme fit, but he has injury questions. Caleb Farley is a perfect scheme fit. He has those back injury questions. Maybe those are reasons those guys fall. If there is a sort of sleeper cornerback pick for me in the first round, it's a Fatu Melifonwu from Syracuse, who I'm sure a lot of people are unfamiliar with unless you're a listener to Locked On Packers, because I have a little bit of a draft crush on him. He's huge. He's incredibly athletic. You know, 41.5-inch vertical, 11-inch broad jump and ran in the 4.4s. He's big, and he tackles. That's the thing. If you hated watching Kevin King try and tackle – over the last 4 years, you're going to love watching Melifonwu play. The guy is so proficient and so physical. There are some teams who want him to play safety because he's such a reliable and a willing tackler. I think he's a first-round quality talent. He fits the athletic numbers that they like. But maybe you could move down a little. Maybe you could trade down into 34, 36, 38 and get Melifonwu or Eric Stokes from Georgia. If those top guys, if there's a run on corners, let's say, you know, the fourth guy goes off the board at 22 with Tennessee, then, okay, maybe you're thinking maybe trade down into the high 30s and you can still get. I think there's a nice little concentration of good players in the 30s and 40s that Green Bay could still take advantage of if that's the direction they want it to go.
I guess two-parter, do you think they take a corner with their first-round pick? First pick overall, what do they could trade down, like with Kevin King? And then if not a corner, Peter, then who else would it be?
I do think it's going to be a corner or defensive back. There's another guy that I really have my eye on for them, whether it's at 29 or in a trade-up, and that's Trayvon Merrick from TCU. He is listed as a safety but played mostly in the slot. And so he becomes essentially a cover player for you, someone who you can put on receivers in the slot, who can play zone coverage. Remember, this is going to be a zone-heavy scheme. So your nickel corner, for example, is not someone who's going to have to be running with Justin Jefferson in the slot necessarily, or, you know, some of these really good slot receivers. It's going to be more of a sort of team effort. So you want these ball hawking guys, these smart guys who can play with their eyes through the quarterback. And Merrick is that guy for me that I think would make a lot of sense in the first, especially if they think, you know, hey, at 62, we could get Stokes, Melifonwu, someone like that, or they're willing to trade up as they were last year. Remember, there was, you know, multiple reports that Green Bay was interested in moving back up in the second to get one of the receivers that they liked. And those guys, I think Claypool in particular was someone that they would have really wanted. And he went earlier than they thought he would. And that's just sometimes that happens. Maybe they're going to learn a lesson from that and say, okay, well, then in the first round, this guy has got to be our corner. The Packers draft for need more often than I think fans give them credit for. You look at that 2018 draft with Jaire Alexander, that was certainly a need pick. Josh Jackson in the second, Darnell Savage, certainly a need pick. And Elton Jenkins turned out to be a need pick. So I think it's going to be a defensive back. If it's not, I think offensive tackle is the spot. And there are a couple guys right in that range. Dylan Radins from North Dakota State. Liam Eichenberg from Notre Dame, and then if he falls a little bit, Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State. All three of those guys could come in pretty soon in their development and play right tackle for the Packers. Keep Elton Jenkins where he is, though I think he could be a right tackle of the future. And, you know, we saw in the NFC Championship game, you mentioned it, David Bakhtiari, if he plays, they probably win. Well, why not invest in more offensive linemen to keep that depth? And, you know, you have it now for Aaron Rodgers, and you have it later for Jordan Love, your favorite.
I'm rooting for him. I'm rooting for him to have a good long career, just not with
us.
Yeah, somewhere else. You're right. The draft, Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence seems likely. Jets, I guess Zach Wilson seems likely. The Niners go to 3 and Mac Jones could be their guy. I don't know where Justin Fields went from 2 to like the 4th guy, you know, and even further down in some. Are we going quarterback? I mean, Atlanta could take one. They could trade out. I don't. Who knows? But are we going quarterback top 4 picks?
I think the quarterback, whoever takes someone at 4 is going to take the quarterback. And Adam Schefter has been saying for weeks, he thinks first 4 picks are quarterbacks. And I look at this draft and I go, why aren't the first 5 picks quarterbacks? Because I think Lawrence, Wilson, Fields, Lance, and the other Wilson are all legitimate starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And those guys just... They create so much value that people should be moving up for them, and I think they're going to. I think we're going to see teams aggressively pursue quarterbacks. I mean, we just saw Sam Darnold go for a second and a fourth. You know, the 49ers gave up serious draft capital to go up to 3 and draft whoever, if it's Mac Jones, you know, LOL on some level. But also, like, he's a really good player. I think he's one of the 15 best players in this draft. I have a better grade on him than Sam Darnold, so – or than I did when he was coming out, and Sam Darnold's been terrible. So maybe that's not saying much, but you know, at this point, I would be genuinely surprised if we don't get 4 quarterbacks in the top 4, and I would say 5 in the top 10.
Yeah, I can't
wait. Historic, by the way.
Oh, I know, and it's, you know, it's only 3 weeks away. I kind of got lost in that a little bit.
Yeah, remember though, a couple years ago, you know, the Browns had the number 1 overall pick, and it was like, well, they're deciding between Josh Allen and Sam Darnold. And Peter King said, you know, I think it's Josh Allen. And then it was, oh, it's Sam Darnold. You know, John Dorsey met with his parents at his pro day. And then 2 days before the draft, Adam Schefter and Chris Morrison come out and say, actually, it's Baker Mayfield. And everyone went, wait, what? So, I mean, we're not going to get that at 1. Trevor Lawrence is going 1. And it seems like the consensus is that Wilson is going to. After that, it could just be chaos. If Mac Jones goes three, especially, I mean, I think it's going to be a free for all for those next two guys, because I think Fields and Lance are both better than Mac Jones as prospects, and I think a lot of teams are going to be interested in moving up to get those guys. So it's going to be really fun, and that's going to push other guys down, you know, for the Packers, and that's a good thing for them.
You don't have to respond, but I will reach out to you before the draft.
Okay. Okay, sounds good.
To come back.
I'll be unprepared for it.
Thanks, Peter, as always.
All right, Bart. Take care, man.
Peter Bukowski, you too. Peter Bukowski joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan, you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of banquility. Get started, greatmidwestbank.com. Peter_Bukowski on Twitter. He is on the Locked On Network, both Packers and then Locked On Today, which covers everything. You need your sports fix in 20 minutes or less, they've got that for you. And again, you can find these podcasts now on the Odyssey app as well.